Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we gladly come before thee in prayer and worship, seeking that our hearts might be bound together with a common love and a common judgments, common understanding and application of thy truth as we approach thy throne and remember that thou art in heaven above, looking down upon us. Thou dost know all things. Thou dost see all things. Thou dost know each and every one of our names. And thou, through thy Son, art acquainted with our griefs. Thou dost know our hearts and art desiring that thou may fill our joy. And truly, Lord, we pray unto thee for the blessing of thy Holy Spirit and thy presence with us this morning, that thou would fill our joy, that thou would fill our expectation of our Heavenly Father that is bringing the good gifts for our soul's great need and to satisfy the hungry and the thirsty that long for thee. We ask thy blessing upon thy word, and that thou would instruct us and lead us in thy truth, for we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture is open this morning to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Let's read from Matthew chapter 3 with the Lord's help, the entire chapter.
Любите читати зі святої речі Господні, святого Євангелія по Матею. Із третьої глави.
Євангелія по Матею, капітул 3.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist brought the message of preparation. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, he said. Make his path straight. Each and every one of us and those who are in John's time have an opportunity. Now we're blessed to hear the words of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, the message of his kingdom, an invitation for each of us to be citizens of that kingdom, to follow him in faith. And that opportunity is precious, and it is limited. So God in his wisdom sent John the Baptist to prepare the hearts of the people for Jesus Christ and his message, for the opportunity that they might be ready to gladly receive the Lord when he would come, that they would be in anticipation, that they would be expecting, and that their hearts would be prepared to desire him, to long for him. And now it is our turn to hear the word of the gospel preached among us and recorded in the scriptures. And it is good for us to hear the way that God had prepared his people, and that we would also make preparation. The message is to you and I to prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And yet this is the God who is beyond time and space, who needs no highways, who needs no airplanes to travel. Even Christ in his flesh could walk upon the waves of the sea. Who would need to prepare a way for him? He can do anything. The preparation that John was speaking of is the preparation of the way into our hearts and lives. And it is done through repentance and confession and a willing submission of our entire being to the word and the work that God has to do in us. And so for us, the question is, am I preparing? And am I prepared in the way that God wants me to be prepared? We think about preparation. For example, if we're going to host someone at our house, we prepare our home. We clean it up. We make it acceptable for the occasion. And we often think of preparation as that which we do to make something meet a certain standard. So when you clean up your house and make it presentable, it's ready for guests. Or if you have a client that is coming to your shop to have something repaired, you need to understand the thing that they have brought to for you to fix. You need to know about the problem, and you do the studying to prepare yourself to give them confidence that you know how to answer and that you are ready, you have attained to this level and status. And that is a preparation. It is a type. But I think it's a great competition to the type of preparation that is God is desiring in the hearts of men to be ready for the Lord. For it is not in our ability to attain a certain status or to be ready and presentable unto God. What is John doing? He's calling men to confess their sins, to bring to the light those things that our flesh would rather hide and have dismissed by men and God. But John is saying, bring them to the light. Bring them to your eyes so that you can see how frail, how limited, how often faltering and weak that you and I truly are. And to repent, to turn from those things. And to fully surrender. We read in Isaiah where this prophecy of John the Baptist that he would say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We find in Isaiah chapter 40 these very words, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Every valley, every hill and mountain, all the crooked ways. God is not asking for partial commitment. He is not asking for partial sorrow or for partial repentance. He is asking for us to yield to him and surrender to him our all, whatever that might be. What are the mountains and the hills that are exalted, that need to be brought low? Perhaps we don't want to talk about ourselves, but we can see it in someone else and maybe reflect upon it. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to John's baptism were rejected because of their pride. And they felt they're good enough. And the spiritual development and maturity that they had attained was satisfactory. And God should be pleased with their sacrifice. The mountains of pride and self-righteousness and our own accomplishments and capabilities, Jesus has come to bring them low. And the preparation that John preached about was a preparation to bring humility and a contrite heart that God would not despise. So that when we hear that there's a Savior who has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, that we would not be up in the clouds thinking of how great we are, but that we would realize that we are the ones for whom he has come. That we would see the bruises, that we would recognize the tendency to follow in the shackles of our enemy and be relieved that there is one who has come to deliver us and run to him and embrace him as one who we want to come under his authority and we want to serve and we want to obey because he releases us from helplessness and vanity of this world. Are there hills and mountains that need to be brought low so that Jesus can enter my heart and make his abode with us? Because those hills and mountains of pride will keep us from opening the door. They will comfort us to just enough level that we will not want to hear his word or his voice. And so it's good for us to be prepared and brought low through confession and bringing to our mind's eye our great need. It was not the rich, it was not the highly acclaimed that got the greatest blessing from the presence of the Lord. No, it was the lame. It was the poor. It was the ones who were the outcast. They, when they came in the presence of Jesus, found the blessing, and they could go home with the blessing. And we all came for a blessing. But what hills and mountains will be in the way of us receiving? God knows. You and I know. May we, with a contrite heart, knowing that it is God alone who can change man's heart, ask him, Lord, make this prophecy come to pass in my heart, so that the way would be clear and open for Jesus. And that I would see my great need of him. Every valley shall be exalted. What are the low spots that need to be filled in, that God sees and that we know? One who is acquainted with their sin and how far we fall short is often tempted by Satan to be brought low, to consider themselves as rubbish and worthless. And to those who ponder upon their condition and see their great need, but do not look up with eyes of faith. Go down that dark and lonely valley without a hope, without a song in their heart. And John is preaching about preparing for Jesus. To those who are in low places, who are cast down and say, there's no use. John is saying, prepare. For though you and I are immeasurably unworthy and have failed our Lord oftentimes and have a tendency to wander and are not worthy to receive of God's goodness, there is one coming, John says, who is mightier than I, who brings the message of God's love from a cross of his suffering in our place, and pouring out of a precious gift of sacrifice to show you and I how much he values and cares for his creation. And Satan would like to keep you going down the valley of helplessness and hopelessness, but the light of hope is shining in Jesus Christ. And that is the message of hope, that we would lift our eyes up unto the one from whom our help comes, Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for you and me, that we could see what God values and cherish him. Thank God that despite our great need and the depths of our despair, that he could raise us up. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Everything is made even. High mountains are brought low. Valleys are exalted. Crooked is made straight. Things are made even. And that is how it is. We look at the landscape of the world and we see how people size people up. Oh, this person is elevated and famous or wealthy and they have everything going for them. This person is downcast and they're an outcast. They're not even fit to live, some people would say, in this world. They don't contribute anything. Some people are so crooked and backward and wrong, there's no hope for them. But in light of the cross, we're all in the same need. There's no one greater or worse. We're all in the same need before the Lord. And he is coming. He's coming to set things right within our hearts. And the ways that are crooked. What are the ways that are crooked that keep Jesus at arm's length? Is it a habit? Is it a group of friends? Is it what is sitting in my wallet or my purse? The Lord is asking for all of our hearts. And he wants our hearts to be directed straight towards him. But these competing loves and these competing relationships, they bend us off course. They turn us out of the way. And they deflect the word of God away from us so it can penetrate us. What are the crooked ways? The ways that are not straight and in alignment with what God desires, that are keeping Jesus outside the door of my heart, of my life, of the way I make decisions, of the way I use the resources that I've been blessed with, of the way I treat my neighbor, of the things that I seek for and desire. The world would set us on a course for things that Jesus doesn't need. Jesus has come, and he did not need a rich family or a fancy house to be born in. And yet somehow we pursue these things. But Jesus doesn't need any of those things. What Jesus needs is the way into your heart and my heart prepared so that we would gladly receive him, gladly embrace him and his teachings, and be willing disciples. Willing disciples and followers of the Lamb. In many ways, the preparation for the Lord to come to our hearts is very similar in the way that we might prepare for a new baby to come into our lives. There is a lot of thought and attention that is consumed as we're anticipating that time and anticipating this new life to be brought in to our homes. It's on our minds a lot, especially for the moms. They're thinking about how they're going to get ready. Are our thoughts consumed by thoughts of getting ready for Christ to come? And being prepared, being a prepared people that the Lord will find watching when he returns? You know, there are so many distractions and so many other things that the world would put in front of our face, and we fail to give thought and consider the Word of God, and that it is calling us to give more and to surrender more. And so this is an obstacle, the obstacle of our mind and what we place our attention on. And when a child is coming into the home, that's something that is wrapping up our attention. In a similar manner, we can be wrapped up in attention for Jesus Christ, for his word, for being ready and being prepared. When a child comes, it's joyous news. It's a blessing from the Lord, and we often want to share it with others. You know, we're willing to communicate about it. We're willing to let somebody know, to share in the joy. And we can take that as also something as we would think about how we prepare for Christ to enter in. You know, if we are just taking him in but not sharing him, then we are just filling up ourselves. But he's investing into us his knowledge and his power so that we can also share it and give it, and that others might benefit from that which we've received. So consider in your life how you will take the things that you've received from the Word of God and how you will share it with others, just as you would if you would have the joy to welcome a new child into your home. I remember, especially for our first child, the plans and the goals of life make a quick change. The plans and goals of life make a quick change when we're preparing for a new baby to enter our homes. And so too, our priorities, our goals, and our plans, when we are being prepared for Jesus and his word to break down those high mountains and fill in those valleys and correct and to straighten those things which are crooked in our lives. We can't have our eye on the goal that the world plants in our heart and expect God to be able to work, or to have the closeness of fellowship that the Lord is describing when he says, my Father and I will come in and we will sup with him, the one who opens the door. There's many physical preparations that we make. We clean up the house. We make it ready. If we're expecting the Lord to be a part of our lives, we would want our lives to be aligned with his word. And so, just like we make our homes kid-friendly, is our home and our spiritual life and our heart a welcoming place for Jesus? A welcoming place where humility and simplicity is free to reign and to rule and have influence, just like a king would a kingdom. So we can honestly pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, starting here." I know that moms are spending a lot of time with their little ones, and we prepare spaces for spending time together. Do you prepare space? Do you prepare a section of your house or a section of your day to spend time together? That's one way you can prepare for Jesus to be more fully within you, and that you would more fully have the hope of glory alive and vibrantly exercised in your life. Many ways that the preparation for a new baby, the preparation for the Lord to enter our life, because it is new life. It is the hope of the future. There are many parallels. What will you do? What are you being called to do this morning? To prepare the way of the Lord. How will you do it? Will you honestly say, "Lord, this is how you prepared your people for Jesus, and there were sinners and there were sick ones that willingly embraced and received the blessing, and they confessed their sins, they brought things to the light, they opened themselves up to see their need and weren't ashamed, and were thankful and relieved to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and were willing to leave it all when it finally came." And that opportunity is coming for you, my friend. That opportunity is coming for each of us to leave something. You are taught to be open and welcoming to the Lord, but I'm also asking you this morning, and the Word is asking you, to shun and to put away and to reject the things that God hates and that He doesn't want in your life. And to be firm in commitment and to be willing to say no and to put it behind. Peter, in his first sermon about the Lord, when the people were pricked in their hearts, they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And the scripture summarizes the remainder of his sermon saying that in many words, that they would save themselves from this untoward generation. What's an untoward generation? When something is straight, we're going toward the Lord. But when something is untoward, it's bent. And it's exactly this crookedness and bent in our hearts and in this world that the Lord is calling us out from. We had a bicycle that the kids had, and it was made great. But it hit the curb and it bent. And it was always crooked. And every time you'd go over it, you'd feel that pressure. Well, God made man in His image, and He made us good. But sin has caused our nature and our being and our flesh to be bent and crooked and not go straight. And we took it to a shop where a professional could fix it. And it was good for a time. But after being bent, this bicycle wheel always had a tendency to go back whenever you hit a curb. Whenever you change the season. And that's our challenge. We're in this flesh that wants to take us back to that old bent state. But we need to come to the Lord with contrite heart that he will not despise, that he would correct us, that he would instruct us, that he would lead us, and that we could be more fully his. Yes. Have a heart that's open to the Lord. But hear the call to turn away from this untoward generation. This world is making it clear how broken, how out of place, how bent, how lost, and how failing it is. And one day, this world will give way to the kingdom of God, and every knee will bow before the Lord and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. May we do so today while the day of grace is here and while we can be prepared for that day of the Lord to come. That when he does, we would say thank you and receive him with joy and put all these things of this world behind us to his honor and glory. Amen.